Welcome to Coffee to Go, where we center ourselves in the scriptures, seasons, and holy days of the Christian tradition. I'm Karen Peter, here with Blake Smith, and we welcome you on the journey. This is the second week of Ordinary Time, or what's often referred to as the season after Pentecost. These are the weeks between Pentecost and Advent, kind of what you might call the summer season if you're in the Northern Hemisphere, where school's out, there's no good holidays until Halloween comes around again. And so you're growing and experiencing life in a different way. And that's how the Christian calendar works. This is the part of the year where we are empowered by the Holy Spirit, which arrived with the church on Pentecost, and we are learning each week what it really means to walk the path of Jesus. So this week, where are we with Jesus? Well, it's kind of like meantime back at the ranch, only it's back in Samaria. And we wanted to just make a comment about Luke has us in Samaria in this part of Luke's gospel, and the other gospel writers don't take this path. Luke has Jesus taking this really convoluted path through Samaria, and there's a reason that he's doing that. He's trying to make a point, because the people who hear this for the first time, they would have known that no sane person goes through Samaria to get to Jerusalem. It would be kind of like in the U.S. if we went to Mississippi to get to Canada. We just don't do that. That's not how that works. And so the fact that he's taking this convoluted route actually calls our attention. It makes us perk up and go, oh, well, no sane person does that. So what's going on? And then we listen more fully. So let's put on our first century Christian ears and try to listen more fully and see what Luke is really trying to tell us here with this passage.
All right. Well, we are back in Samaria in the ninth chapter of the Gospel of Luke, and today it is the 51st through the 62nd verse. When the days drew near for him to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem, and he sent messengers ahead of him. On their way, they entered a village of the Samaritans to prepare for his arrival. But they did not receive him because his face was set toward Jerusalem. When his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, "Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them?" But he turned and rebuked them, and then they went on to another village. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." To another he said, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." And Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home." And Jesus said to him, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." So why does this matter? Well, I'm left asking the question, why did they not receive him?
Yeah.
So, you know, did they reject him because he was Jewish? Did they reject him because he made it clear that he was on his way to Jerusalem? So why bother? I think that's a pretty natural reaction. You know, we make decisions of whether or not to invest in relationships with someone based on how long they're going to be around. Maybe Jesus was just a bit distracted about the journey. So anyway, whatever the reason was, the disciples are not happy.
No, they are not.
They are not happy. But Jesus took it in stride. It's interesting that his reaction was kind of, it wasn't necessarily pastoral. No, let's sit here and try to convince them. It's nope, let's move on. But the disciples, they want, I'm not even sure what the word would be.
They want to burn it down. You hear that today. Well, you don't agree with me, I'm going to burn it down.
Right. So nobody's, Jesus is like, you know, hey, everybody's not welcoming. Not everybody's going to say yes. He's kind of clear in that message throughout. But there are some defining features of those who do. And here in Samaria, Jesus is approached by some of those interested parties. And he tells them straight out, this is not an easy path. You've got to let the dead bury their dead. You don't have time to look back and do this. You've got to keep your eye on the prize, your eye on the goal. And anybody who's ever done any plowing, especially one in these days where it's a hand plow, if you turn back and look, then you turn the plow and your straight lines are no longer. It's really important that you be focused on moving ahead. So I think that this part of the passage is really relevant for today, because we have people who ask questions in this passage, and there are rather like a lot of folks, I think, today in a world where some would call it post-Christianity, where answers aren't all black and white, or at least I would say they probably never were black and white, but now we have permission not to look at them in a black and white manner. But there are lots of people who have questions. They're curious. They might suspect that there's something more. They might and probably do have sense that something's missing in their life, but they're either unsure or they have other distractions in their lives that they just can't let go of. And so this is a situation where we're hearing this passage and Luke is saying, ask the questions, be on the journey. It's and you're going to find out that it's going to be tough, and you may not choose to follow a particular path, but that's okay.
I think there's also this other little piece of it that didn't really formulate in my brain until I was listening to you read this scripture, and that is that when I was going through the commentaries, they made the point that these people who questioned Jesus and Jesus gave these responses about this won't be fun, people. We don't know ultimately what they did. That's never said ultimately what they did, and I think sometimes people kind of. Church people in church life, we say, well, I invited my friend, but they didn't come. Or, some people came once, but they never came back again. We make those kinds of comments about faith communities and people who are like crossing the border to test out a faith community or a faith experience. And if they don't respond the way we want them to respond right off, we take that as a final. We'll just never ask them again, or they're just not interested. And it doesn't allow the space to let people rest in that. The space that might not be no, it might be a not now, and rather than a no. And we have to give people space and stay in relationship with people. Our relationships aren't transactional. Just because they don't want to do what we want them to do right now doesn't mean we don't give them space to change their mind.
That's great. And now, just as you're talking, I'm thinking of that and thinking about, one thing about Jesus is that he didn't sugarcoat things. He didn't try to make, sometimes I think we say stuff to folks to get them in that is not necessarily the reality they will face in the long run. And so I think to be upfront, he wasn't mean about it, but he just said, this is what it entails. And then, like you say, give them the space to live in that. And that's just really important. So some questions we might ask ourselves this week are, do I want to embark on a spiritual journey? Some of us are aware of what the costs are, and those who are on the cusp of trying to decide are hearing those things. And so we have to decide if we even want to embark on the journey. Second would be, what do I even believe? What do I believe? We've talked about that a number of times in the episodes across the time. And I didn't even ask that question until I was in my 20s. I mean, I believed what I believed, but I just never questioned it. So I have found that to be a very important question. It has helped me on my own journey, just understanding and even challenging sometimes what I believe. And finally, who will go with me on the journey? It's so important that we have a companion on the journey, just to talk things through, sound it out. to vent when we're frustrated because the journey's not going the way we want, whatever.
Yeah, I think it's really helpful to think about how the role of proclamation, we talked about proclaiming Jesus Christ and creating communities of joy, hope, love, and peace. Role of proclamation isn't to convince, it's really to walk with and proclaim who you are as a disciple in your authentic relationships with others. So how can I experience that this week? So I love this passage of scripture because there's this aspect of Jesus turning his face towards Jerusalem, facing the reality of what's to come, knowing that it will be an arduous journey and an even worse conclusion to the journey that leads up to the joy of the resurrection. So I think maybe this week for me, I'm going to practice turning my face to some difficult tasks that are in my current life. And maybe you can do the same. So whether it's a difficult conversation that needs to take place, turn your face towards that and begin the process of having that. Or is it simply a task, a chore, something you've left undone that still hangs over you? Turn your face to that. Is it a neighbor or a colleague you've been avoiding? Turn your face towards that person. Focus on being present in the moment, in the journey, in the task, in the difficulties and the messiness of life, and be present in the relationships that we have with one another. So some things in life take us on a hard path, but once you start, you keep looking ahead, hand to plow. I love that phrase. And we know that God goes with us.
Absolutely. And our blessing today will just kind of pick up on that. It is by Arianne Breathwaite Lane, and it's called When I Need Some Steadiness. Yeah, that should ring a bell with a few, right?
Yep.
All right. Well, supportive spirit, you are the warmth around me, the hope within me, the resolve that leads me forward. You bring light into my darkness, and right now I'm longing for that light to shine in the shadows plaguing me most. Please bring your faithful steadiness to my life so often in flux. Just as I think things are under control, the trusted ground begins to shift. My relationships rumble, my insecurity starts erupting. Not many things are dependable in this life, God. You are. I declare my need for you and trust in you. Please be a rock to which I can cling, even with shaky hands, even with only a few fingers. May I fix my eyes on you, even as I don't know all the surprises in store. Help me to look to you, God, in this day. You are steady. You are sure. And so is the light you promised to shine on the next step before me. Amen.
Amen.
Well, everybody, thanks for joining us here today at Coffee to Go. Karen and I just love being able to be with you, and we hope that you'll join us next time for the next part of our journey through the liturgical seasons and holy days of the Christian tradition.